This is Dr. Benny Tate, and I would like to thank you for tuning in to this week's message at Rock Springs Church. Wherever you are, I hope this message encourages you and helps you grow in your walk with God. Here's this week's message from Rock Springs Church.
Today we come to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 30. This is what God's Word says. It says, by faith the walls of Jericho fell down. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. Let us pray. Jesus, we love you, and I just thank you for your incredible goodness. You have been so good to each of us. I pray now that you would anoint us with your Holy Spirit. We need you to come. We need the power of the Holy Spirit to speak to hearts, whether it's by radio, whether it's by television, whether it's on our online audience, whether it's in one of our campus. Holy Spirit, would you just manifest yourself? Because without your presence, there's not anything we can do. It's vanity and vexation without you. So have your will, have your way, and for all you do, we're going to praise you. For I pray this prayer in Jesus' name, believing that we're going to have fruit that will remain till you come. Amen. You may be seated. I want to talk to you for just a little while today about a journey with Joshua. A journey with Joshua. Barbara and I had been fortunate enough to have a son, we weren't ever. That was the name we'd picked out. We was going to name our son Joshua. And I started thinking about Joshua, and I've preached about Joshua. I've preached points from his life, but I've never preached a complete message. I've never taken a complete message and preached about Joshua. Now, what we've been talking about, we've been going into Hebrews chapter 11, and we've been pulling out some of the heroes. We started with Abraham, and we talked about Abraham. Last week, Pastor Cameron, Pastor Noah, Pastor Trey did a tremendous job. Literally, they took Enoch, and boy, they taught me so many things from Enoch, so many things that they pulled out about Enoch. What great messages. And today, we come to Joshua. But now, what was interesting to me, before we get to Joshua, 8 names are mentioned. I mean, we're talking about Abel, we're talking about Abraham, we're talking about Noah. But we 8 names are mentioned, and what's amazing, we get to Joshua and we see the walls, but get this, folks, his name is not even mentioned. His name is not even mentioned. I heard about a young man, he was born, and his mother named him. And she named him Odd, O-D-D, Odd. Some people say, what's your name? Odd. And to be honest, he lived his life. That was his name, but he hated that name. I mean, literally, he hated the name Odd. And he said this. He said, one of these days, I'm going to die. And he said, on my tombstone, I hate my name. He said, I just want them to leave it blank. So when people see my tombstone, literally, it will just be blank. And people would visit that cemetery, and they would visit the graves. Then they would walk up to that grave, and they would look at it, and they would say, that's odd. That's odd. Did you ever think about this, folks? Give me something. Did you ever think about the people in the Bible that was used in such a great way, yet we don't even know their names? Think about the three wise men. We don't know what their names were. The good Samaritan. We don't know what his name was. That widow who gave her last 2 mites. We don't know what her name was. Look here. That little boy that gave his lunch that's unforgettable. We don't know what his name was. The woman at the well who met Jesus in John chapter 4. We don't know what her name was. Apparently, Our names are not what's real important. I love what John Wesley said. I read it this week. Listen to what John Wesley said. He said, I would to God that all party names and unscriptural phrases and forms which have divided the Christian world were forgotten. I should rejoice if the name Methodist, which he started, might never be mentioned, but burned into eternal oblivion. Charles Spurgeon, the most famous Baptist pastor to ever live, he said, I say of the Baptist name, let it perish, for I look forward with pleasure to the day when there will not be a Baptist living. Those names are not important. But pastor, what is important? Wherefore God also hath exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. See, folks, my name's not important. Your name's not important. Our denominational name's not important. What's important is the name of Jesus, for neither is there salvation in any other. So we get to a guy whose name is not even mentioned. And I want us to see five things, because I want to dig in and learn from this man. His name's Joshua. The first thing I want you to see is this. He was pulled from the Hall of Faith chapter. So I want us to see Joshua's faith in his commencement. You said, Pastor, what are you talking about? Joshua's faith in his commencement. I want to see Joshua's faith in his beginning. I wanted to find out, where's the first time that Joshua is mentioned in the Word of God? And it's in Exodus chapter 17, verse 9. Look what it says. And Moses said unto Joshua, choose us out men and go fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in mine hand. Moses said, Joshua, I'm going to be on the mountain, and I'm going to have the rod of God in my hand, holding it up. And you're going to be down in the valley fighting the battle. You'll be down there fighting the battle, the Amalekites. And the Bible says, as long as Moses' hands were lifted up, ladies and gentlemen, they were winning the battle. But when his hands got weary, they started losing the battle. And Aaron and Hur came alongside of him, and they lifted his hands up. Now Moses is on the mountain. Joshua is in the valley. I want you to understand something. We may be Joshua. We're in the valley fighting the battle. Because, folks, you'll always be in a battle. We're in the valley fighting the battle. But I want you to understand something. The battle is not won in the valley. The battle is won on the mountain. We fight the battle down here, but the battle is won up there. See, Moses' hands being lifted in the air represents prayer and praise. The secret to winning the battle is not fighting the battle. Every battle in life will be won on your knees. See, the battle is taking, oh, I'm sorry, folks, but the battle is taking place down here, but the battle is won up there, amen? You said, Pastor, can you prove it? Oh, I can prove it. I can prove that the, folks, that prayer and praise go hand in hand. I can prove in Acts chapter 16, the Bible says, and at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God. Look, it goes hand in hand. It's not enough just to pray. There's got to be some praise involved. I want to remind you, the Bible speaks more of praising the Lord than it does praying to the Lord. The Bible speaks more of praise than it does prayer. You look for some praise phrases. You look for something to praise the Lord for. It's important that we look for things. I'm sorry, folks, but it's important that you look for things to praise the Lord for. Wait, and look, and suddenly there was a great earthquake and the foundations of the prison were shaken. You know what I know? The jailhouse rocked long before Elvis. Amen. I mean, that thing began to shake and immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's bands were loose. Here's what I want you to see. Joshua teaches me that prayer is the secret to winning every battle. Lloyd John Ogilvy was on an airplane. Lloyd John Ogilvy was actually a Presbyterian pastor. He was chaplain of the United States Senate for many years. He was in Kansas. He had spoken in Kansas, and he was flying back to California on an airplane. A call came to the cockpit of that plane, and the call said, "There is a viable bomb threat on this plane." And the viable bomb threat says, at 5,000 feet, the bomb's gonna detonate and destroy everything and everybody on the plane. Now wait. They found out that a preacher was on the plane. And they needed somebody to pray. Let me tell you something, folks. When you're going through a difficult time, you won't be hunting those lounge lizards down at the Crystal Pistol. You'll be hunting somebody that can get in touch with Jesus. You'll be hunting somebody that's maybe old and fogey, somebody that's maybe old-fashioned, somebody that's maybe dated a little bit, but they can get in touch with heaven. They can ring the prayer bells of heaven. They can grab hold of the horns of the altar. That's what you'll do. And Lloyd John Ogilvy, they said, "We need you to pray." And Lloyd John Ogilvy started praying. "Oh, God, give this pilot wisdom. Oh, God, we need wisdom. We need a wind from elsewhere. We need wisdom." And that pilot said, "I got a plan." They said, "What's the plan?" He said, "We're coming from Kansas to California. We're flying over Denver, Colorado. Denver, Colorado is 5,280 feet above sea level." Not 5,000, but 5,280 feet above sea level. And he landed that plane in Denver, Colorado, and everybody was safe. Let me tell you something, folks. Prayer is the key to every victory in your life. Prayer, get this. Prayer is the difference between the best you can do and the best God can do. Joshua's faith in his commencement. Now, number two, Joshua's faith in his calling. Joshua's faith in his calling. See, if you look at verse 1, God said to Joshua, "Joshua, Moses is dead. Moses is dead." Now get this, folks. If you're a leader, and many of you are, Moses raised up a Joshua, but Joshua didn't raise up a Joshua. "Moses, my servant, is dead." And then he said in verse 2, "Now you lead the people, Joshua. You're my man. You lead the people." And he said in verse 3, "Every place the sole of your foot shall tread upon, I've given unto you, as I said unto Moses." And then in verse 5, he said, "I'll be with you, just like I was with Moses." Now here's what I want you to understand. In verse 3, he said, every place your foot treads. That told me something. Joshua had to step out. Now, folks, you understand something. God has a calling on every life. God, look, we think the calling ends and begins here. God help us. Vocation comes from the Latin word vocare, which means a calling. What I want you to understand something, God has called you, and God has called you, and God has called you, and God has called you. There is a calling on every life. You're not to come to church just to sit and soak. No, no. You're to serve. Because there's a calling upon every life. Every life has a calling. God's got a special, no, you're missing it. God's got a special plan for every life. Yesterday I did something. I was reminded of this. There's some people that's, there was a house that in our area that's been for sale for a while, and finally I noticed some people moved into it. And I said, Barbara, this is an opportunity for me to take some banana bread. And she was in there mixing it up and got it ready. And I went down and I took the banana bread. She took the banana bread. I invited the people to church. Now, let me just say this, folks. That's a novel thought. What about when somebody new comes into your neighborhood? Why don't you invite them to church? But I've got a news flash for some of you. They're all new because you've never invited any of them to church. You've never invited any of them to church. And we should, folks. But one of my favorite stories is taking the bread one time to a man and inviting him to church, and he said these words, I'm going to come. I'm going to come to church. I said, good. He just moved there. And his wife came 2 weeks later, and he said, we're going to go. And she said, I don't want to go. I don't want a big church like that. I don't want a big church like that. And he said, well, honey, there's a problem. I've eaten the bread. And I told the man I'd come. I can't lie to the man. The man's a preacher. I don't want to lie to the man. I told him we'd come. And he said, let's go one time. We'll never go back. But they came, and they've been coming several years. And Carla, I'm so glad you all came. Okay. Okay. We've missed it, folks. The things that we think are not important are important. God's called every one of us to do something. God's got a calling on every life. Now look here. There's a third thing I want you to see about Joshua. Joshua's faith in his courage. Joshua's faith in his courage. Winston Churchill said, courage is what it takes to stand up and speak. And courage is what it takes to sit down and listen. One man said, I took my pocket knife and cut the tail off of a vicious lion. And somebody said, well, why didn't you cut his head off? He said, somebody already had. Now look, when Joshua was a young man, Moses sent him out to spy out the promised land. He goes out there with 11 other men, and for 40 days they spy out the land. And they get over there and they see there's giants in that land. Massive giants. And they come back, and 10 of those men say, we can't take them. They're giants over there. And then they said these words, we're like grasshoppers in their sight. I want you to understand something. Those giants didn't look down at those people and say, you all are like grasshoppers in our sight. They told themselves that. And what you tell yourself is so important. But God has not given you the spirit of fear. And the promise that's in the Bible the most is fear not. 366 times. That's one for every day and one for leap year. Fear not. They said, we can't do it. And Joshua said these words. I love what Joshua said. And they spake unto the company of the children of Israel, the land which we passed through to search it, it's an exceeding good land. Look what Joshua said. He said, if the Lord delight in us, then he'll bring us into this land and he'll give it to us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. Here's what he said. He said, let me tell you something. This land is incredible. And we can get it. We can take it. But look what he said. Only rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land. Wait. For they are bread for us. He said, we're going to battle them, but they're going to be bread for us. Now, what does bread do? Bread will cause you to spread. Look here. He said, we're going to be in a battle, but it will enlarge us. It will expand us. It will impact us. Our reach will be greater. Our influence will be greater. Our testimony, it'll be bread for us. We'll not be the same as we were before. I may go through a hardship. We may go through difficulties. We may go through struggles, but we'll come out of it and we'll not be bitter. We'll come out of it and we'll be better. We'll be expanded. We'll be enlarged. We'll be greater because of it. He said, for the Lord is with us. Fear them not. Now, here's what I ask. You say, well, wait, Pastor. Why did he have such courage? I'll tell you why. Genesis 15, 18, 600 years before, God had promised the land. And if God said an elephant's going to lay an egg, you can get your skillet. Amen. 600 years before, God had promised the land. I love the story about the two old boys that were watching the 11 o'clock news. And there was a man on the news that was contemplating jumping off a bridge. And his friend said, I bet you $20 he jumps. He said, I'll take that bet. And about that time, that man jumped off the bridge. And he handed him his $20. He said, no, I can't take it. He said, I watched the 6 o'clock news. And that old boy said, I did too. But I didn't think he'd do it twice. Joshua watched the 6 o'clock news. He claimed the promise of God. See, folks, what will build courage, get this, what will build courage in your life is the promises of God. What will build courage in your life is the promises of God. You've got to understand, in verse 3 of Joshua chapter 1, he said, just like I was with Moses, I'll be with you. In verse 5, he said, Joshua, I want you to understand something. I'm not going to forsake you. In verse 7, he said, Joshua, I'm going to prosper you. In verse 8, the only time, by the way, it's mentioned in the Bible, we hear so much talk today about success. It's just mentioned one time in the Bible, right here. And God not only called it success, he called it good success. So apparently there's a difference between bad success and good success. And he said, Joshua, I'm going to give you good success. And then verse 9, he said, I'm going to be with you wherever you go. Let me give you point number 4. Joshua's faith in his conquest. See, we get to Jericho. Jericho's the oldest city in the world. I was there a year ago. It's 99% Muslim. It's in the West Bank. The Jews are forbidden at this time. The Jewish people can't even go to Jericho. But during Joshua's day, it was a walled city. The walls were 15 feet wide, 28 feet tall. And when I was there among the rubble, they said, "Pastor, these are the collapsed walls." And they said, "From archaeological study, we found out something." I said, "What's that?" Fire was involved. Destruction by fire. I said, "That's right." If you read the text, after the walls fell down, they burned the city. That's why remains of fire, destruction, is in the rubble. They said, "Preacher, we think it was an earthquake." I said, no. It wasn't an earthquake. The Bible tells us why those walls fell down. And the reason why you know it wasn't an earthquake, the northern part of the wall still stands. And why would the northern part of the wall still stand? Do you remember what God promised, what the spies promised Rahab? Her house was on the wall. Her house was on the northern side. And she was promised that everything's going to be destroyed except you and your family. That's why the northern side was not destroyed and still stands to this day. But folks, the walls came down because God caused the walls to come down. The walls came down because God caused the walls to come down. Now here's what I know. Every one of us today have walls that we need to come down. Every one of us have walls in our lives that we need to come down. You say, "Well, preacher, how can we conquer?" Romans 8:37 says we're more than conquerors through him that loved us. Now, whatever season of life you're in right now, whatever wall you're facing, you say, "Preacher, what will bring the wall down?" Three things. Number one's obedience. Now, you would have thought Joshua, against this walled city of Jericho, would have had some great military plan. But get this. Here was the plan. Seven priests are going to be out front with trumpets. And you're going to walk around the city six times. And on the seventh day, you're going to walk around it seven times. And you're going to blow those trumpets. And when you blow those trumpets, the people are going to shout. Now, here's all I'm saying, folks. It's okay to come to church and you say, "Pastor Benny, I just like to come. I'm not a real expressionary person." That's okay. There's nothing wrong with that, by the way. God made us all different. But I want to hasten to say, folks, there's nothing wrong with expressing either. There's nothing wrong with blowing the trumpet and shouting out to God. And I've said over and over, something's wrong on Saturday at college football games when we go and act like a wild Indian and on Sunday come to church and act like a wooden Indian. Something's wrong with that. Amen? Joshua gave them the instructions. Wherever you are in life right now, you say, "Pastor, I've messed up." That's okay. You obey God from this point on. For the walls to come down, you obey God from this point on. The second thing I want to encourage you to do, don't give attention to the joy suckers. Don't give attention to the joy suckers. You say, "Well, Pastor Benny, I've got an 11 by 14 dream." Praise God. If you've got an 11 by 14 dream, don't you share it with five or seven minds. There's joy suckers out there. All they'll do is suck the joy out of you. You say, preacher, where do you get this? Out of the Bible. Look what he said. And Joshua had commanded the people, saying, wait, ye shall not shout, nor make any noise with your voice, neither shall any word proceed out of your mouth until the day I bid you to shout, then you shout. Now, why did he tell them to do this? Listen too closely, folks. Here's why he told them. He knew sure as everything that they'd walk around that wall. And after they walked around a time or two, somebody would say, nothing's happening. Nothing's happening. You're never going to find anybody. You're never going to graduate. It's never going to happen for you. There's joy suckers. You got to get away from them. You got to get away from the joy suckers. We want to be like that mosquito that went on its first flight. And it came back. And the mosquito's dad asked him, how'd it go, son? He said, great. Daddy, everybody was clapping for me. Some of you are slow, but you're worth waiting for. See, I used to think, folks, when I started preaching, I used to think just because people were in the church, everybody was going to be excited. But that's not true. Some of the biggest joy suckers I've ever met never miss church. Some of the biggest joy suckers I've ever met, they come every week. And what they'll do is they'll just suck the joy out of you. You'll meet them at the door. Can I talk to you for a minute? I've got something. I hate to mention it. Liar, liar. You don't hate to mention it or you wouldn't mention it. Joy suckers. He said, pastor, are you talking to me? Well, if your phone's ringing, pick it up. All right, here we go. Look, and the third thing I'd say, don't ever give up. Look here, folks. They went around that jammy six times. The seventh day, they went around it seven times, and nothing happened to the seventh time. I'm just trying to say to you, don't you ever give up. Don't you ever give up. You say, well, preacher, Brother Benny, I've messed up. Hey, hadn't we all? But don't you ever give up. Because God's still got a plan. God's still got a purpose. God's still got a supernatural plan for your life. I'm done, but I want to give you the last point. Joshua's faith in his commitment. Joshua's faith in his commitment. Now get this. When Joshua was a young man, he went and spied out the land. When he got middle age, that's when he took Moses' place. But now he's an old man. And we come to Joshua chapter 24. And in Joshua chapter 24, this is so good. 17 times he reminds the people how good God's been to them. Look here, folks. 17 times he reminds the people how good God's been to them. Look what he said in verse 13. He said, I've given you a land for which you didn't labor, and cities which you built not, and you dwell in them. of vineyards and olive yards which you planted, not do you eat. 17 times, folks, he reminded them of how good God's been to them. I got married, moved into a furnished trailer. You could drop a handkerchief on the floor and have carpet wall to wall. Why, Brother Benny, did you move into a furnished trailer? Because I didn't own a piece of furniture. Folks, you can look back over your life and God's been so good to you. You can look back over your life and God's been so good to you. You know, some of you are living in houses you never thought you'd live in. Some of you never even thought you'd still be alive at this age of your life. Didn't think you'd be alive at this age of your life. Some of you, God's given you families and give you children that you never thought you'd have. God's given you grandchildren that you never thought you'd have. God's given you health that you never thought you'd have. Some of you walked through hell, but what you found out, when I walked through hell, God was with me. He didn't abandon me. He didn't leave me. He was right there with me. And when I was walking through hell, God sent all kind of angels along my way. God sent people to encourage me. God sent people to help me. God sent friends along the way. God sent loved ones. God provided resources. When I didn't know how I was going to make it, God sent resources and God helped me. 17 times. 17 times he reminded them how good God had been to them. Then he gets to verse 14. He said, God's been so good to you. Why don't you put away these false gods? Why don't you put away these false gods? See, I don't understand. I'm sorry, folks. But I don't understand having to beg people to serve the Lord. I don't understand having to beg people to come to church. I don't understand how you have to beg people, oh, will you please give? Well, I just don't do that. You say, Brother Benny, why don't you say a whole lot about giving? I'll tell you why I don't say a whole lot about giving. I don't say much about it. And by the way, I'm unapologetically a tither. But let me say this, folks. When God has been good to you and you realize how good God's been to you, nobody have to browbeat you. You'll want to give to the Lord because he's been so good. No, I don't think we ought to have to beg people to come and worship God. I don't think we ought to have to beg people to serve God and find a place in the church to serve him. Because, lady, oh, I'm sorry, folks, but God has been so good to us. He could have died. Your husband could have died. Your wife could have died. But God was so good. God brought you through all the heartaches. God brought you through all the disappointments. God brought us, I'm sorry folks, but I'm just camping where I'm feeling it. All the disappointments. And certainly we've had them. He may have left, but God didn't leave. God was right there with you. She may have left, but God didn't leave. He was right there with you. I've never had a friend like Jesus. Amen? Now, Joshua said, some of you may want to serve these strange gods. But he said, I'm old. And he said in verse 15, but as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. After all God's done for us, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Can we stand to our feet?
Thank you for joining us for this week's message from Rock Springs Church. If you would like more information about Rock Springs, be sure to follow us on social media or connect with us at rockspringsonline.com. Join us right here next week for another message from Rock Springs Church.